Good evening. My name is Rachel Zucker, and I'm a resident of International House and an undergraduate student in fundamentals and economics in the college. On behalf of the residents and staff, it is my pleasure to welcome you to International House and tonight's public lecture program. This evening's program is with Bassem Eid, a human rights activist, and it is sponsored by International House Global Voices Lecture Series. I would also like to thank the Israel Education Center, the Posen Family Center for Human Rights, International Studies, Social Science Collegiate Division, J Street U Chicago, and International House again, as well with Neuberger Hillel U Chicago. Global Voices public programming advances cross-cultural understanding and opportunities for civil discourse on community, national, and world affairs through music and dance performances, films, lectures, conferences, and roundtable discussions. Now I'm pleased to introduce to you our guest speaker and our moderator. Yiftach Ofek is a PhD student in the Divinity School, focusing on Jewish and political thought. Yiftach has a Master of Arts in Political Philosophy from the University of Chicago, as well as a Master of Arts in Jewish History and Culture from Harvard. Before entering academia, he served as an officer in the spokesperson unit of the Israeli Army, and later headed the NATO and EU desk in the IDF Strategic Division. The way tonight's program will go is Yiftach will first introduce our speaker, and then our speaker will speak, and then there will be a Q&A following his lecture.
Thank you, Rachel. It is my great honor to introduce Mr. Bassem Eid. Mr. Eid is a Jerusalem-based political analyst, human rights pioneer, and expert commentator in Arab and Palestinian affairs. Mr. Eid was born in the Jordanian-occupied Old City in Jerusalem, whose place of residence became the United Nations Refugee Works Agency, UNRWA, refugee camp of Shuafat, and where he spent the first 33 years of his life. He rose to prominence during the First Intifada, the Palestinian uprising, and was a senior field researcher for B'Tselem, the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights. In 1996, he founded the Jerusalem-based Palestinian Human Rights Monitoring Group, and in 2016, assumed the role of chairman of the Center for Near East Policy Research. The Association for Civil Rights in Israel has awarded him its Emil Grunzweig Memorial Award. He's also the recipient of the Robert S. Litvak Human Rights Memorial Award, granted by the McGill University Faculty of Law and the International Human Rights Advocacy Center, InterAmicus, the International Activist Award given by the Gleitzman Foundation, USA, and the award of Italy's Informazione Senza Frontiere, Information Without Boundaries. Yes, period. In 2009, a book, Next Founders, profiled him as the leading Palestinian human rights activist. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bassem Eid.
Good evening to everybody, and I would like to thank, first of all, the organizers and the sponsors who make this event possible. I am a person who has a very important message, and that's one of the main important tours that I am doing here, not only in the United States, but I am also well known as a good traveler around the world. And in my opinion, is such message that I am going to deliver tonight is one probably of the most important messages in the history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I am a person who believes that the students of today in the different campuses around the world, it probably will be the leaders of the future. And that's why I prefer all the time to deliver my messages among the students' community rather than any other community around the world. It probably tonight, I might provoke some people, but this is not in my interest. My message should have to be delivered and to be spread. Never mind what the others are thinking about my message or about myself. I must have to start by saying that unfortunately, we, the Palestinians, became a very divided society. Since the Hamas took over the Gaza Strip in 2007 until today, we are unable to reach any kind of unity or reconciliations, which is the Hamas and the Fatah. If I want to take, first of all, the Gaza Strip, in my opinion, there are two bodies who are very interesting in the destruction of the Gaza Strip. The first one is the Egyptian government, and the second one is the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. But who is interesting in the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip? Also another two bodies. Hamas is one, and Israel is two. Imagine that Israel is interesting in the reconstruction. But what is the conflict between the Hamas and Israel? That the Hamas said that the priority of the reconstruction is how to reconstruct our own tunnels and our own military capability. While Israel, on the other side, said that the priority of the reconstruction of Gaza is the houses and the other civil facilities which has been destroyed during the summer war in 2014. So while we, the Palestinians, are very interested in the destruction of the Gaza Strip, I think that we have really a very big conflict among ourselves. Because the Palestinian Authority and the Egyptian government believes that while there are more and more pressure on the Gaza Strip, that probably will pave the way to the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah to recontrol the Gaza Strip, which is, of course, the interest of the Egyptian government right now. And this is one of the reasons why the whole procedures of the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip almost delayed. People then more than a year are waiting to see somebody who might come to reconstruct their house. So this is one of the most deepest conflicts among the Palestinians right now. If we will move a little bit to the West Bank, I believe if Mr. Netanyahu tomorrow morning will meet with President Abbas, the first question that Netanyahu probably is going to ask Abbas, whom you are representing, Mr. President? Palestinians in the West Bank, or Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, or Palestinians in diaspora? In my opinion, President Abbas only representing his two sons and his wife, which means that there is a huge lack of trust between the Palestinians and their own leadership. People among themselves, while I am visiting cities, villages, refugee camps in the West Bank, people coming and saying to me that since the Oslo Agreement, we the Palestinians are moving backward, which means that our life before the Oslo Agreement used to be much better than it is today. Friends, the majority of the Palestinian people these days are people who are looking for dignity rather than identity. I don't have any problem with my identity. Wherever I am traveling around the world, when I said that I am a Palestinian, everybody recognizing me. But when I will say that I came from Abu Dhabi, I believe a lot of questions people probably will raise. Is it nearby Syria, far away from Turkey? Is it in Asia? Is it in Africa? Which is an existing country in the Gulf. So I don't have any problem with my identity. I have a big problem with my dignity. And I believe that dignity can be approached only via an economic prosperity. And here, how I am trying to blame the international community, that all the time they kept a blind eye on the economic prosperity for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And each country around the world, including the administration of the United States, start focusing on the political process rather than anything else. And this is how the international community almost failed to approach any kind of solution in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. If we are looking today, what is surrounding us in the Middle East, you will find that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is probably the most safe place in the Middle East. I don't want to be in Syria. I don't want to be in Libya. I don't want to be in Iraq, neither in Yemen. Still much more safer to be wherever we are right now. The Muslims' terror is increasing around the world. I shouldn't have to call it an Islamic terror because Islam is totally against all of these Muslim terrorists who are growing around the world. I think that the world right now is in a big mess. And I don't think that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has any kind of priority right now on the agenda of the international community. And that's probably one of the reasons why the Palestinian Authority became so upset. Because since 2 years ago, nobody is mentioning the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. No one leader trying to mention the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And that was the conclusion of the Palestinian Authority since 5 months ago, that violence should have to take place. Violence should have to take place. Because only by violence we will be able to force the international community to resume the negotiations between the Israelis and the Palestinians. In my opinion, the stabbing issue which took place in Jerusalem and in the West Bank in the past five months, in my opinion, it's one of the most barbaric things that I ever saw in my life. I don't think that we, the Palestinians, should have to practice it. I don't think that stabbing Jewish people will benefit us. I don't think by stabbing the Jewish people will liberate us. I don't think by stabbing the Jewish people will found the Palestinian state. It's the opposite. We are the Palestinians right now paying a very huge price for what we are committing. And that's what's happened in Gaza since the Israeli disengaged from the Gaza Strip in 2005, while the Hamas start shooting its own rockets towards the south of Israel. Look how the people in Gaza are suffering right now. So my conclusion is that the most tragic thing in the history of the Palestinian people is not the Israeli occupation. It's my own leadership. That's the most strategic thing in my life. I didn't see that the Palestinian Authority or the Palestinian leadership trying to take any kind of responsibility in terms to improve the daily life of the Palestinians. Since the Oslo Agreement, I didn't see one university has been built by the Palestinian Authority. I didn't see one school has been built by the Palestinian Authority. I didn't see one clinic has been built by the Palestinian Authority. What we are hearing is just billions on billions on billions of dollars, which nobody knows where these hundreds of billions of dollars has been spent. Corruption after corruption. That's exactly what is the Palestinian Authority, in my opinion, are practicing right now. How to corrupt the international community financially, and how to corrupt the Palestinian people politically. I think that the Palestinians are speaking much more than I am when they are gathering and when they are talking to themselves. I think that the Palestinian people almost frustrated, almost hopeless from the situation, not only because of the Israeli occupation, but also because of our own leadership. Mr. Saeb Erekat, the head of the Palestinian negotiators team, wrote a book 2 years ago. You know what was the title of the book? Life is Negotiations. Which means that we are going to negotiate the Israelis forever. This is the meaning of the book. Which means, if tomorrow morning Mr. Netanyahu will stand up in the Israeli Knesset and he will declare the recognition of the state of Israel in the Palestinian state, I believe that Mr. Saeb Erekat will stand up in Jericho by calling Netanyahu's decision as unilateral decision. And Mr. Erekat will call Mr. Netanyahu that the recognition in the Palestinian state should have to go through negotiations. Otherwise, Saeb Erekat will lose his job. And he's not very interesting to lose his job right now. He would love to continue negotiating the Israelis. People are killed, and nobody is care about. To declare on people who killed as martyrs, I don't think that that's really benefit the future of the Palestinians. To pay $2,000 for the family that their son or father has been killed, I don't think that that's the economic strategy that we are looking for. But this is how the leaders succeed to keep the violence ongoing. So while the situation is like that, sometimes I am blaming the international community when they are looking to me as the victim of the occupation. Excuse me, I am not the victim of the occupation. I am the victim of my own leadership. So please don't consider me as a victim. Please consider me as a part of this conflict. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a conflict which is running between two different parties, which is the Israelis and the Palestinians, not only the Israelis. So I think that the Palestinians is still holding the key for a better future for our own children. I think that the Palestinian people should have to rethink about what's going on and to try to create their own internal leadership who can take into their consideration the interest of the people, not their own personal interest. Now, besides that, Looks like that so many organizations right now are running around of, or dancing, let me call it, around the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The BDS, the Students for Justice in Palestine, the Jewish Voice for Peace, I don't think that these people will benefit neither the Palestinians nor the conflict by itself. I think that these people are creating huge obstacles towards any kind of a future solution between the Palestinians and the Israelis. I want the BDS people to come one day, and I want to make for them a tour to see the Palestinian workers who has been kicked out from their work because of the activities of the BDS. How these people lost their own jobs. How their children almost lost their medical insurance because their fathers has been kicked from their jobs because of the BDS activities. I think that the BDS, before they are calling to boycott Israel, anyhow, I don't think that there is any kind of BDS among the Palestinians themselves, by the way. If you will go every early morning to the center of the cities in the West Bank, you will find hundreds of thousands of boxes full of vegetables and fruits with the Hebrew writing. Is that came from Jordan or that came from Egypt? Of course it came from Israel. Till today, we have 92,000 Palestinian workers who are waking up early morning, crossing the old checkpoints between the West Bank and Israel, and going to work inside Israel. Beside the 92,000 workers who are working inside Israel, we have another 15,000 Palestinian workers who are entering to the settlements every day to work over there. We are still building the houses in the settlements. We are still building the infrastructure of the settlements. We have no other choice. I think that my people want to survive. I think that my people want seeking dignity. I think that my people should have to take responsibility towards the future of their own children. So I'm saying all the time, it's very easy for such kind of organizations to operate in Europe and in the United States. But I don't think that it will be so easy for them to operate inside the occupied territories anymore. So probably I will stop right now and giving a little bit of time for questions in term to make things probably much more clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Eid. We will now move to a Q&A session. With your permission, I will ask the first question. I'm sure that many of the people here tonight would like to hear more from you about how you see the future, the immediate future, the further away future. What is now the way to go forward, as we often hear?
See, I am not in a position right now to come and to present any kind of solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Probably for one reason. That when people start talking about the one-state solution for two people, everybody said that will never work. Then we moved to the two-state solution for two people. But these days, looks like that the Palestinians are much more interesting in a three-state solution for two people. Because no doubt that the Hamas is fighting for his own Islamic Emirate in the Gaza Strip. No doubt that Abbas also is fighting for his own empire in the West Bank and the State of Israel. And looks like that everybody is so satisfied with his own. Now, how I can present any kind of solution while we, the Palestinians, are divided? First of all, solution need steps and measures. The first step, in my opinion, that without creating a kind of unity among the Palestinians, I didn't see in the short term any kind of solution between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Thank you. We will now move to questions from the audience. There's a microphone in the middle. I suggest that perhaps a line will be formed. What?
Yes.
I would like to emphasize, though, that this will be a Q&A session. That is, keep your questions short and receive your answer. But we would like to maintain this very civil and concise.
يعطيك العافية.
أهلا.
أنا لولا إنه المكان هذا بس فيش فيه ناس غير فلسطيني كان زمان كسرت الدنيا على فكرة. أنا مستغرب كثير. So I'm gonna jump to the English question. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. So you're talking about division, why Palestinians are divided. You're talking about Palestinians having to go build the settlements. Talking about Palestinians crossing the checkpoints to go inside, work inside Israel. You're talking about the Palestinians that are being hurt by the BDS because they're losing some jobs in the West Bank. You're talking about BDS and SGPs working in Europe and now working in Palestine. But can you talk a little bit about what brought us here today?
What?
What brought us to this division? What brought Palestinians to a place where they have to go work for their occupiers? Can you talk about Gaza when it was destroyed four times and how come you can call it a war? I'm from the Gaza Strip, by the way. I lived there my entire life and I witnessed the first 2008, 2009, and I witnessed Hamas winning the elections and the siege that took over the Gaza Strip because Hamas was elected, even though Hamas are Palestinians, they didn't come from the moon, and they have been oppressed just like every other Palestinian since the 1948.
Please keep this to a question form.
Okay. Excuse me, sir, he talked for a long time, so I really need to talk.
No, excuse me, I'm a speaker here.
Yeah, you're
excuse
a speaker,
me.
Yeah, but you're
excuse
talking
me.
A lot of poison.
You couldn't lecture to me, please.
I'm not lecturing, I'm asking you a question.
You ask me
Can
the
you
question.
Explain why you, Palestinians
at least I need
are
2 days to answer your
today?
Question.
At Who least, told you to represent Palestinians
least,
and speak for
you know,
them?
You know,
you excuse me.
Excuse me. You,
you
start.
Excuse me.
You start your question.
Yeah, I'm asking
with
you
a very
why
bad words in Arabic,
today?
By the way, okay. with a very what bad words in Arabic. Excuse me. I'm not going to answer your question.
Question.
Sorry.
Why
sorry.
Did we get to where we are? Why are
sorry.
Today?
Sorry.
That's the question.
That's enough.
The question was, why are we divided, and what brought this division?
Okay, so how many times we are going to hear your question? How many times we are going to hear your question? Okay, you ask question, okay? You ask question. Let's go to the other question, please.
No, can you answer it?
No. Excuse me.
Q&A,
I am going to take three
Wait
questions and to answer them
One or the other.
Together. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Okay. Hi. My name is Emma. I'm a member of J Street U Chicago, which is a two-state solution advocacy group. And my question is, well, I hear from you, I think, rationally, a lot of disappointment in your own leadership. And I'm wondering, what are you doing, bringing this message to a room full of Americans, many of us Jews, and like, why do you think this is an important message to bring to us in particular? Thanks. And without sort of talking about the issues that the American community really needs to face, like the occupation, like settlements.
Thank you.
Yes, Palestinians are violent, and we can't go stab, and we can't go do this. You said zero things about what the Israelis have been doing for the past 70 years.
Yeah.
I mean, even calling it a conflict, when you call it a conflict, you're saying it's two sides. You're taking out the dynamics of oppressing or oppressed. But all you talked about is Palestinian. You haven't said anything about any damage that Israel has been doing.
Okay.
Nobody getting shot at a checkpoint. No pregnant ladies getting shot at a checkpoint.
Okay.
600 people in prison, administrative detention for no reason. you know, I don't know how many children are have been in prison since 2000.
Please,
I'm just
question
saying.
Question form.
The question is, why are we here justifying Palestinian violence and not zero things about Israeli violence? Okay. That's been going on for so long.
Thank you.
Also, Hamas was created by Israel, by the way. It was funded by Israel. Get your facts right, because none of your
Hamas
facts that you said
Hamas
were right.
What? Hamas what?
Hamas was funded by Israel in the 80s. And get your facts straight and study your history.
Okay. Another question?
Yes, another question.
Three questions and then in a row?
We will answer.
Please.
All right.
He will take three questions. This will be the third one, and he will answer.
Yeah. Please.
All right. I apologize if my question is not provocative. There has been talk in political circles in Israel about disengaging from the West Bank. Might you offer some insight as to what you think might happen the day after Israel would disengage in the West Bank? What do you see perhaps 2 years out, if you can give us a picture? Thank you.
We will start from the last question. I don't think that Israel will disengage from the West Bank, because the Israelis almost learned a very big lesson from their own disengagement from the Gaza Strip. And they are not going to repeat such kind of thing, which is the Israelis still consider it as a big mistake by disengaging from the Gaza Strip. The West Bank is much more close to Israel rather than Gaza itself. And unfortunately, in some opportunities, when a former Israeli prime minister declared that they are going to withdraw from specific parts of the West Bank, the Hamas leaders stood up in Gaza and start threatening Israel that if you are going to withdraw from any specific parts of the West Bank, these specific parts are going to be reoccupied by the Hamas. And we heard it from Mahmoud Zahar, I think, several times. So the Israelis right now are not thinking to withdraw even from 1 centimeter of the West Bank. So this is something that I don't think that we can talk a lot about it, because nobody can imagine that tomorrow morning Israel will withdraw from any part of the West Bank. Towards your question, on the division of the Palestinians, I will never, ever accuse Israel. Even that the Palestinian Authority accusing Israel, even that the Hamas accusing Israel. So if Israel want to keep us divided, where is the goodwill among the Palestinian leaders themselves, the Hamas and the Fatah, to reach such kind of unity? From the whole rockets which has been shot from Gaza towards Israel, which kind of damage we caused to the Israelis? I think that we caused damage only to ourselves. I think that the people in Gaza right now knows very well what's really going on, and I think that the people in Gaza can tell you the truth about their own daily life under the Hamas. Hamas is an organization which is not really representing the agenda of the Palestinian people. Hamas is an organization which is representing the agenda of Iran, not my agenda. The agenda of Iran. And Iran, no doubt, that they want us to be sacrificed for the Israeli occupation. We used to handle all of our troubles on the occupation since 68 years ago. What we achieved from that? When we, the Palestinians, will start taking responsibility on what's going on to ourselves? When? I think that we should have the Palestinian Authority who should have to give the chance. Excuse me.
Sir.
Excuse me. I'm not going. I am not going to argue with you. I'm not going. Excuse me. There are some other people. Excuse me. There are some other people who want to ask questions. Excuse me. Please, let's go.
There was another question asked about why you are taking your message to hear the people here, the students.
I think that it is important. I think that I mentioned that since the beginning. As I said, that we the Palestinians should have to bring out all of our problems and all of our troubles. Because when I am pointing out all of my troubles, I am seeking a kind of help from the international community to come and to give a little bit of help to the Palestinians in terms to improve their daily life. And this is why I am here.
Thank you. Next three questions, please.
Please.
Hello. I'm an alumni of the University of Chicago, and I'm Jewish. And I've listened to you today, and I am personally horrified by much that you've said.
Again, question form.
The question I have is, how could you look at the situation in Palestine and Israel and think the occupation and the brutality, the ghettoizing of Gaza and dropping bombs on it, the devastation of people's and taking over people's homes, the grabbing children in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and taking them off to military detention, which doesn't happen in any other country in the world, to a place that their parents can't get to them? How could that not be relevant to the situation in Palestine? I can't fathom it. I am personally horrified that this is being done in the name of a Jewish state.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sir?
Hi. I just wanted to ask, I noticed that this group wasn't sponsored by any Palestinian clubs on campus. Why? If you're going to speak on behalf of the Palestinians, shouldn't a Palestinian group maybe pass it by just to have some sort of fairness? That's all I'm asking. Thank you.
Just one comment, because it's not a question, it's a comment. First of all, I am not representing any Palestinian here, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the First of all, I am a human rights activist. I am in touch with the people.
I researched you. Thank you. I know.
And
please,
I am...
Please.
Excuse me. Okay. Thank you.
Can I actually just ask another question? Just a simple question, and it will be a question. Just a simple question, guys. Guys.
Thank you.
Guys, please. So I did make a comment, but can I ask just a simple question?
No, excuse me. Let's the police deal with this
incident. Sure, that's fine. This next question...
Just wait. I am a Palestinian much more than you are. Yes? Okay. To finish? Okay. Okay, great.
Just a simple question. This is relating to the presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Eid. Thank you.
Thank you. come to me.
Hassam.
I need my girl. No, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Please.
Come here.
Do you have any comments about what the speaker had to say?
Just that he doesn't speak for all Palestinians, and that should be remembered by everyone.
WZRD.
What do you want? We don't talk right now.
All right, we want to get you outside.
I'm sorry, sir.
Are you students here?
I am a student.
What did you think of the presentation?
For whom are you recording this?
WZRD.
Gotcha. I found it fascinating in a lot of ways.
Would you care to explain?
Not right now. No, thank you.
What about you?
Actually, I just thought the discourse was irrelevant at all. It didn't make any sense. As many people said, it didn't mention the Israel. The only purpose of the discourse was to say that Israel is the only savior of Palestine. And I'm for neither one part nor the other one. I'm not Jewish, I'm not Muslim, but I think our duty is to be fair for both of the parts.
What are you studying?
History and political sciences.
So there was quite a bit of history missing in the presentation.
I think so, yeah.
Would you care to comment on the presentation? You identified yourself as Jewish?
Well, yes, I'm an alumni of the University of Chicago, and I am Jewish, and I am a community member. And I spent the afternoon, this afternoon, with a journalist from Gaza. So he's been sitting in my living room, and we've been talking about the situation in Gaza, about the fact that they have electricity 4 hours a day, that they don't have access to water that's not salinated because Israel holds the key and only allows water through as they deem, and they send really undrinkable water. And there's enormous sickness among children and old people from having this corrupted water to drink, that in every way Israel controls what's happening in the Gaza Strip. There is no exit. It's like the Warsaw Ghetto. The idea that Israel and the occupation has nothing to do with the situation of Palestine is insane, it's absurd, and it's insulting. And I am horrified that there wasn't opposition to his position allowed, that when people asked hard questions and gave information, they were shut down. So the whole presentation was appalling. And I can't bear the reality that Jewish groups would bring this man, who I think is a lunatic and profoundly misguided, as if he was a legitimate speaker, and a human rights activist who refuses to see the fact that in any conflict, for instance, in Cass-led, there were thousands of innocent people killed, unable to escape the confines of Gaza, and somewhere a handful of Israeli soldiers killed. Nobody should get killed. I don't want Israeli soldiers to get killed. I don't want Israelis. But to think that this is an equivalent situation is absolutely, it's not reasoning, it's not faulty reasoning, it's a horrific lie. This gentleman, who is an NBC, he works for NBC for 25 years. He lives in Gaza. He's Gazan, and he's here to talk about Gaza. He lives in Gaza.
Your response to the presentation of a person billed as a human rights activist?
I didn't hear any word for human rights. My name is Waji. Yeah. He talked. I didn't hear anything about human rights. All the time he is attacking the Palestinian Authority, and he attacking Hamas, he attacked all the Palestinians, and he forgets that the occupation is the reason. He even not talking any word about the occupation, about the settlements, about the killing of the Palestinian, about the seizure around Gaza, all of this. So I'm not thinking that he is representative of any Palestinian ideas. He is the representative of Israel government. Even the Israel government, there are ministers, they cannot talk the same speech. This is Lieberman's speech. He asked for transfer all the Palestinian people from there to solve the problems, because one state solution, it is not work. Two state solution, it is not work. So the solution is transfer the Palestinian from there. Yeah. So I think he is not presented to any of the Palestinian. Actually, he is not. He is not a Palestinian at all.
Yeah. I can speak.
Can you say your name?
My name is Jay. My question did go unanswered. I asked why there weren't any campus Palestinian organizations involved in this event. I feel...
Which groups? It was Hillel...
J Street, but...
Really part of the fifth column for Israel.
Yeah.
And the Zionist occupation project.
Absolutely. And what my question... That brings up a good question. It raised some eyebrows. But my the other question I really wanted to ask was... You know, he condemns the Palestinian violent protests, which some people would say is justified. They're angry, just like the man today was angry because he comes from there. He's feeling what they feel, just like the other Gazans and the other Palestinians all around. The question is, why does he think that his opposition to BDS is the best approach? Students all over, thousands and thousands in the U.S. are advocating for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. This event was only brought up by all Israeli groups. Why does he feel that
the Palestinians are mm-hmm. at fault, is what I heard.
Yep.
And that they should be grateful to have menial jobs building
correct
facilities.
That's
for
what
the
he
occupiers.
Said. That's exactly what he said. And just recently, University of Illinois in Chicago,
right.
UIC, just passed divestment. The student council. Why did they pass divestment? Just like Loyola and DePaul and other campus organizations all over are running divestment campaigns.
Anybody else from your group?
Anything?
No? You, sir. You attended the presentation.
To hear a Palestinian perspective, that's not what I heard. Okay, because I'm neither Palestinian nor Jewish, but with the basic facts that I know about the situation, what he was talking about didn't reflect on it. I was going to ask you one specific question. During the last invasion, there were four Palestinian children, none of them teenagers, none of them over 12, that were shot and killed on the beach. Who's responsible for that? Okay? We know the Israelis did it. Okay? I mean, that's no question about that.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to say, who's responsible for that? I mean, the Israelis admitted they did it. So it's not, you know, and nothing has happened to them. So what it reminded me of is, as an African-American, is what happened to those girls, those four girls in Birmingham years ago who were blown up by the Klan. Okay? Thank you much.